Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
Prophetically, as well as pretty much chronologically, as we study the events that led up to the birth of Christ. And it's one of my favorite texts. I love to read about this, and I'll tell you why. Because when you see the magnitude of what took place prophetically and how everything had to fall into place just at the right time, in the right way, in the right location. And obviously, we're going to look a little further into not only the chronological order of events, but why it's so significant. Amen? We're going to get to the heart of Christmas. Father, we do ask that you would open our eyes and our ears today, God, to see and hear what you would speak to us. God, I pray that we would gain a greater revelation, a greater understanding, and apprehending, Lord God, of you, of your nature, of your character, of your love, God, of your purposes. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would quicken us together, Lord. And Lord God, that your word would find deep root within our heart of hearts. And that we might have a greater understanding and revelation of why we're celebrating today and every day. And God, above all, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Got to say, it's good to have Jake with us. I always love having Jake come back and visit with us. He's kind of a student slash worker now, I think. He's on a certain program. But he's always such a blessing. He snuck in and saw me last night before the service. And then we got a chance to pray together last night. It's always good to have you with us, Jay. Amen. We're going to look, first of all, at some prophecies. And, you know, as I look at these prophecies, you got to wonder how some of the students of the Scripture in Jesus' day were not aware of what was going to happen, because it was quite clearly laid out. And it shows you it's not enough to memorize the word, or not enough just to read the word, amen, but we need revelation. We need current revelation. We need to be established, the Bible says, in the present truth, that the present truth of that word would ring clear in our hearts and be perceived, amen, by faith and acted on. First of all, one of my favorite scriptures as it relates to the prophetic declaration of Christ being born is in Isaiah 9 in verse 6 and 7. Very familiar scripture. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." I like that. There's two different perspectives. To us a child is born, but to the Father a son was given. And the government, the rule, the reign, the realm, the kingdom, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Amen. Those are all, when it talks about his name, those are reflective of his nature, of his character, and what he brings and what he imparts into the life that bows the knee to him and says, "Yes, Lord." Amen. You need somebody wonderful in your life, he'll be it. Do you need a counselor from time to time? He is the counselor. Do you need God's mighty power and authority and miracles in your life? He's the mighty God. He's an everlasting Father if you need a father. And he's the Prince of Peace if you need peace in your life. Amen. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Think about it. No end to the increase of his government. No end to the increase of his peace. This is what's available. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. God did not leave this event to us. He did not leave this event to human conception, thought, ability, or any such thing. He knew better. He knew that we needed an intervention. He knew that we needed to be rescued. He knew that we needed to be redeemed. Amen. And so he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm not going to leave this up to anyone or anything else. This will be my doing. Isaiah 7:14. Now these, you got to understand, this is 700 years before he came. Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here we have a second prophecy from Isaiah. And now not only is he letting us in on what God's doing, what we're receiving and who he is and his nature and his character and the eternal aspects of his kingdom and of his government and the eternal nature of his peace, but he's saying how this Savior is coming is through a virgin. Now, I don't know, but I don't know what, you know, we have the blessing of looking back on this event. You know, somebody before Christ, before Jesus had come, reading this scripture, that had never been heard of. Man, I think that's one of those probably you'd put on the back burner and say, how's God going to pull this off? But 700 years before it happened, if you ever need reassurance that the Word of God is God-breathed and God-inspired, all you have to do is study prophecy. How many times God prophesied, even Jesus testified before the New Testament was written, he said, in the scriptures you think you have eternal life, these are they which testify of me. And those were thousands of years before he was born. He said, all the law and the prophets on the road to Emmaus, he goes, they testify of me, and he began to open it up to them. And so, to me, when I was in Bible school and I began to realize the prophetic accuracy and the times between when these prophets prophesied and when they came to pass, I mean, it just sealed the deal, and I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I'm thinking, man, if God can preserve his Word and bring it to pass to that detail and that kind of and that kind of power and authority, what can he do for me? What will he do for you when he speaks into your life, into your situation? Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 49:5, and now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Here, prophetically, that Jesus being formed in the womb by the Holy Spirit and relying fully on the Father, which we know as we study his life, he did. And he came with a purpose. Three prophetic words just in Isaiah concerning the birth of Christ. Then we know Micah 5:2. I read this one. I touched on it last night. And you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth from old and from everlasting. Not only was he prophesied to come, but where he would be born was declared 700 years. Well, this could have been actually longer before the actual event. Do you think God inhabits eternity? Do you think he knows the beginning from the end? Do you think he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith? Amen. Just think about the birth of Christ in the context of the prophetic. And you see, start to catch just a little glimpse of how big God really is. To engineer the circumstances of the universe, the world, to bring about these events exactly the way they were foretold, to give these prophets with such clarity, and many of these prophets, they prophesied and they still didn't understand the depths of what they were saying, and yet they described it with clarity and accuracy like none other. 100% inspiration. Moving in the power of God, whether they understood it all or not. And then we move up to all the supernatural visitations and miracles that took place to bring about this amazing event. First, let's begin with Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Who's coming? Gabriel. Going to this probably little young teenage, late teens, early 20s woman who's engaged to be married. Says, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said, rejoice, highly favored one. That literally means much graced. Rejoice, you who've received an abundance of grace. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. You know, she didn't really have the full picture at this time. And she's probably wondering, my life hasn't been a whole lot different yesterday than from today. And I really don't see what you're talking about as far as being much graced or highly favored. She was troubled at this greeting. She was troubled that the angel Gabriel showed up. Amen. And in her house and began to talk with her. I could understand why she was troubled. And it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, as what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, or grace with God, an abundance of grace. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. You can see even in this proclamation from Gabriel, from the angel that was sent from the Father, the prophetic word being fulfilled, quoting some of the things that were prophesied in Isaiah and here even in this text. It says, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You've heard that before. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I'm not married. I've never been with a man. How can this be? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Angelic visitation. Miraculous conception. Mighty visitation by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's no different today when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the glory and the power of the Highest overshadows you. there's something holy. There's something birthed inside us when that happens, of the Holy Spirit, of the nature and the character of God. Amen. Of the giftings and enablings of God, of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God still overshadows. God still indwells. God still fills. God still births in His people. There'll never be another Savior birth, but He births that which is of Him in our lives as we continue to pursue Him. One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now we move back to Matthew. This was in Luke 1. We're going to have to follow this chronologically. Obviously, the next step would be Joseph's got to be let in on this. Otherwise, there's going to be trouble in paradise. Amen? So we move to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Can you imagine, guys, if the girl that you, the woman that you're engaged to, come up to you and said, "I'm pregnant, but there's really nobody else involved. This is a God thing. God is..." Right. "I was born at night, but not last night." Amen. You know, with these prophecies, only one gal can claim this. Amen. There's only one that gets to use this. But Joseph didn't buy it either. And I'm sure Joseph, he was a just man, the Bible says. He followed God. I'm sure that's why they were picked. They were highly favored. She was much graced, amen? And she wouldn't be marrying somebody outside the faith. She wouldn't be marrying somebody that didn't know the Scripture. So he probably knew this. But when this was coming home, when it was in his house, when it applied to him, this was a little harder to swallow. And so he said, "Listen, he was a just man. I'm going to put her away." He knew the law. The law said if somebody was caught in adultery, they should be stoned. They should be killed. He loved her too much. He didn't want to do that. He said, "I'm going to put her away privately. I'll let people deal with her the way they deal with her, but I'm not having anything to do with her." Which immediately prompted another angelic visitation. Now, notice all that God is going through to fulfill His word and ultimately His purposes in your life and in mine. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he said, "I'm going to put her away secretly." But while he thought on these things, I'm sure he was agonizing over this, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" He's got to have some faith. And God is confirming His word. "And she will bring forth a son," in verse 21, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now we're seeing more and more unfold in terms of his mission, his purpose, why he's coming. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.'" Isaiah 7:14 that we read. Notice, don't you love the way the scripture, when a prophecy is fulfilled, that it tells you it's the fulfillment of this certain prophecy 700 years prior when Isaiah prophesied. It's like in Isaiah 53 when it talks about the suffering Savior and the sacrifice that he would make, and that by, you know, he was wounded for our transgressions, by his stripes we're healed, the chastisement of our peace was on him. And then when it talks about that, by his stripes we're healed, in Matthew chapter 8 when it said they brought all that were sick and demon possessed and afflicted to Jesus, and he prayed for them, it says, "And he healed them all. Thus it was fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah that he was wounded for our transgressions, and that by his stripes we're healed." He's saying this is the fulfillment. You don't have to wonder what it looks like. This is that. that was spoken. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Joel, the prophecy is so good. It's so good to know. It's so good to study in the light of the new covenant. And they thought Peter and the disciples were drunk. Amen? You remember that? They were staggering around. He goes, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter begins to preach. He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will have visions, and they'll prophesy. Amen. He prophesied it all. Joel prophesied it. And Peter says, this is that was spoken hundreds of years later. And we're still living in that covenant that he prophesied about. And then there's confirmation that comes through Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. Now Mary rose in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, and in those days she went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah to greet Elizabeth. You remember Zechariah was a priest, and he didn't, and this was John the Baptist's parents. John the Baptist was foreordained and prophesied that he would point out the Lamb of God, that he would point out the Savior. And so they're pregnant simultaneously, and Elizabeth is pregnant. Zechariah lost his voice, couldn't speak, because when an angel come to visit him to tell him about his son being born, another miraculous birth, then he didn't believe it. He had a hard time receiving it. He goes, well, you're not going to get your voice back then until he's born. Don't go praying that over your family now. So if all of a sudden we quit talking, you'll know what happened. Amen. So she goes to Zechariah to meet with Elizabeth and to tell her what's happened about this angelic visitation, what God has spoken. And it happened in verse 41 when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, there was some Holy Ghost activity going on. There was some supernatural intervention and things happening here. Mary simply walks into the room, and Jesus was so anointed even in the womb that John the Baptist sensed it in the womb and leapt within the womb at the sound of her voice. No wonder he's called the Christ, the anointed one. He had the Spirit without measure. He walks, Mary carrying Jesus in the womb. We don't know how far along she was. Probably figure it out if we read a little more, but I don't believe she was that far along. And at her presence, carrying Jesus in the womb, John the Baptist responds by leaping in the womb. And then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to prophesy. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of the greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord. God is faithful to confirm his word. Something of that magnitude, you want to get a little confirmation. Amen. Now God moves them to Bethlehem. This is what we talked about last night in Luke 2. God moves them to Bethlehem. God uses a registration for a tax to get them to Bethlehem, where Micah 5:2 was then fulfilled hundreds of years later. The birthplace, the location of our Savior. Angelic visitations to the shepherds. Angelic proclamations, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. which is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord? And then it goes on to say, a multitude of heavenly hosts join the chorus of the angels. Heaven invading earth. Amen. Making known the will, the purposes, and the heart of God that a Savior was born. A deliverer has come. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Things are going to change. A multitude of heavenly hosts. And we know the story. The shepherds out on the fields responded, the Bible says, with haste. They made haste and said, let's go see what's been made known unto us. And they went and they saw the baby. This sign will be, there'll be a babe in a manger. They went, they saw the sign of the baby to testify that a Savior was born. Amen. And then they went about telling everybody what they had heard. The first evangelists were these shepherds. Why all these supernatural events? Why did God script this in such detail and fulfill it to the very letter? What motivated the Father to send His Son? What motivated His Son to leave His throne, His position with the Father, and become a man, make Himself of no reputation, it says in Philippians, and take upon Himself the form of a servant, to be born of a woman, to grow up in a fallen world? What motivated him? Why go through all this? When there was none righteous, all had sinned. All had turned their back on the Creator. All he ever do was want a relationship. All he ever did is want fellowship. Want intimacy with His creation. Wanted to bless. And man walked away. And in spite of that, after literally thousands of years of rebellion and sin, approximately 4,000 years, God so loved the world. You want to know why? Because He loves you. Because He loves me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is what caused Him to come. Love is what sent Him. Love is what carried Him to the cross to die in our place. He came because of love. And He came to teach us to love. Even when it's not easy to love. He came to teach us how to love Him like He loved the Father. He came to teach us how to love one another like He loved us. He came to teach us how to love our enemies like He could die and demonstrate the ultimate act of love for His enemies. He came to teach us how to love not our lives unto death because of our love and passion for Him. Luke 19 and verse 10. Why did He come? Why did all this happen? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to hunt for you. He come to seek you out, to seek me out, to send His Holy Spirit, I call it the Hound of Heaven, to track us down. To teach us how to live, to give us purpose, to fulfill His destiny and His plan for our life. If you're saved this morning, He sought you out. If you're not, He's still chasing you. Let Him catch you. Revolutionize your life. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came. He came to teach us how to serve. He came, amen, to teach us how to love. He came to teach us how to live. And He came to live so that He might die, so that we can experience the life that He offers. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. 1 John 3 and verse 5. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Why did He come? What was His motivation? It was love. What did He come to do? Teach us how to serve, how to live, how to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? To give us eternal life, to forgive us for sin, to deliver us from the power and the effects of sin, amen, in our life, to set us free from the bondage and the captivity of sin, amen, and what it does to us, to pay the price, the only one worthy to pay that price, the sinless Lamb of God, so that we might be the scapegoat, we might be the one who goes free. He came to establish us in righteousness, in His righteousness. Amen? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, He said we are. His righteousness has been imputed. We've been declared righteous. We've been declared holy. We've been declared perfected before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because He came, because of His sacrifice, because of the cross, because of the atonement, because of the resurrection, we've been justified. And He came to destroy every work of the devil over your life and mine, to give us authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. So that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And any tongue that rises up in judgment tries to condemn you, He says, you condemn. For this is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. This is why He came. This is why God went through such detail, declared with such prophetic insight, and fulfilled every prophecy to the letter, and sent a Savior because He loves us and He wants us to walk in the freedom that only He knew up to that time. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, we celebrate Your love this morning. We thank you for the victory that we have over sin. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your peace, for your joy. God, we thank you for the authority and the power that you've given us because the enemy has been defeated. God, help us to learn the lessons that you come to teach us. God, how to love you with all of our hearts. How to love one another. God, even love our enemies. God, how to serve. To put that love in action through service. God, how to live. How to walk in peace regardless of circumstances. How to understand and know and be immersed in your grace, in your mercy, in your favor. God, in your peace and the goodwill that you intended for us at the proclamation of a Savior would be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I pray that your coming and your sacrifice would not be in vain. But God, those that are here this morning, those that may listen online, might encounter you in the power of your love, that we would never be so caught up with the festivities and the activities that we don't make room for you. That you would always continue to be the center of our celebration. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We join with the angelic hosts and the heavenly hosts, saying glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. We bring glory to your name, O God. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we sing one more song, just worshiping him, thanking him for his great love? And I know many of you have to leave, and I understand that, but if anybody does need prayer, I would be glad to stay and pray. Yes. Merry Christmas.